Lord, we're so thankful to be here this morning. I'm so thankful for the family and the church that you provided here for us, Lord. And you know my heart's desire this morning. I pray that your will would be done in my life and in every person in this room's life. Lord, that we would be open to receive what you have for us, that we would listen intently to hear your voice this morning, that you would speak to us individually, and that we would respond to what you have to say to us. Lord, guide us now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I got about 5 verses to read before I get to Nehemiah chapter 2. So if you want to just open up your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 2, we'll be there in just a few minutes. Where I'm going to begin at is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. And it says, keep reminding them of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. So I'm keep reminding you of these things, okay? So are y'all listening? I'm reminding you right now of what the Word of God says. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. I want you to think about that a little bit. Do you think of your life as a Christian? Do you think of your walk with God as a workman approved of presenting yourself to God each and every day as thinking, my Heavenly Father is looking at me. Would He approve of my life today? Would He approve of my actions? Would He approve of what I'm doing? There, you know, it's funny, me and Crystal was talking about this weekend, her boss wasn't at work on Friday, and she said there's just something different when your boss isn't at work. She said, I have a great boss, and she doesn't really bother me, but there's just something different when the boss isn't there. And I said, it's the same at FedEx. There's just something different when the boss, when the main boss is out of town, and like everybody just almost like relaxes a little bit, and it's like, well, why? And you know, I'm thinking this. I'm not that me and Crystal was saying, well, why? Why is this happening? No, I'm just thinking, well, why is that happening? Well, because I know when my main boss is there, at any moment he could come and get on to me for something if I'm not doing my job properly. And our supervisors don't really do that, but the main boss gets on to us if we're doing something wrong. So when he's gone, it just relaxes the place a little bit. But I want you to think about that. God's never gone. He's always there. And so to be a workman approved is how many of us are living each day is saying, my Heavenly Father's watching me. I don't mean this in a critical way, but how many of us have in our thoughts, in our mind, I want to live my life today for Jesus and do the best that I can for Him. Romans 12, 4 and 5 says, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Okay, so I'm living my life as a workman approved, but not only that, is I need to understand that I belong to everybody else. That I'm not my own, that I belong to everyone else. Just as the body has different functions and many members, that's how the body of Christ is supposed to be, and each member belongs to each other. Now, how many of you live each day going, I'm a workman approved by God, I'm seeking His will, and I don't really belong to myself. I belong to my brothers and sisters in Christ. Number one, I belong to my Heavenly Father and what He wants to do with my life. No, many of us are, what do I want to do? What are my plans? What suits me? What makes me happy? 1 Corinthians 10:24 says no one should seek his own good, but the good of others. We don't belong to ourselves. We belong to each other, and we should be seeking what is good for all, that will bring unity with us, that will unite us. Now I'm going back to Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 2. If my Bible will open there. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 11. We talked 2 weeks ago about Nehemiah in his desperation. He cried out and he prayed and he fasted and asked God's hand to be upon his life and what God had put in his heart. So Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 11. He says, I went to Jerusalem, and after staying there 3 days, I set out during the night with a few men. I had not told anyone what God had put in my heart to do for Jerusalem. There was no mounts with me except the one I was riding. By night I went out through the valley gate towards the jackal well and the dung gate, examining the walls of Jerusalem, which had been broken down, and its gates, which had been destroyed by fire. You know, I think that this is a beautiful thing that he's doing, and I know we haven't, many of you who's gone to church here for a long time, you've studied Nehemiah with me. We did a Sunday night Bible study with Nehemiah, but it's been a few years, and so but I didn't want to go as in depth this time around, but I think that this is a beautiful thing of what he was doing. If you remember, he realized that the city was in ruins. He fasted, he prayed, he cried out, he asked the Lord to bring favor upon him, and he goes to the king and gets the king's favor and gets the king's help and everything else. And here he doesn't come in and make a big presentation, a big show. Here's what I'm about to do. He says it didn't even tell anybody, but he set out to look and see what work needed to be done. You know, I think sometimes in the body you get people that's loud and want a show. He knew work needed to be done. He went to examine and see what needs to be done here. And I think that there's a lot in that right there that we can understand where God wants us in our lives. We don't have to announce everything. Sometimes there just needs to be work done, and you're doing it with you and the Lord, and not everybody in the world has to know about it. So he's going out, I think, verse 14, then I moved on towards the fountain gate and the king's pool, but there was not enough room for my mount to get through. So I went up the valley by night, examining the walls. Finally, I turned back and re-entered through the valley gate. The officials did not know where I had gone or what I was doing, because as yet I had said nothing to the Jews or the priests or nobles or officials or any others who would be doing the work. Then I said to them, you see the trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace. I also told them about the gracious hand of my God upon me, and what the king had said to me. They replied, let us start rebuilding. So they began this good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Geshem the Arab heard about it, they mocked and ridiculed us. What is this you are doing? They asked. Are you rebelling against the king? I answered them by saying, the God of heaven will give us success. We, his servants, will start rebuilding, but as for you, you have no share in Jerusalem or any claim or historic right to it. I read that last part because, you know, last week we talked about all the different tactics that the enemy uses to attack us in our life. And here, right away, the enemy begins to mock, to ridicule. What do you think you're doing? Are you rebelling against the king? What do you think? And it goes on and on and on, and you can see it. But where I really want to focus at this week is that what begins to take place is he says there's work to be done. There's work to be done. We understand the importance of a wall and what its significance was. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. The wall represented protection from the enemy. And so they knew that this wall needed to be rebuilt. But we're not going to read through it. But if you do have your Bibles open, I want you to just flip over to chapter 3. And chapter 3 lists, in great detail, all the workers and what they were doing. It wasn't one man doing it. It wasn't just Nehemiah doing it, but it was everybody working together to accomplish what needed to be accomplished. Let's go to chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 15 and 16. Like I said, we're not going into great detail this time in Nehemiah. But chapter 6, verse 15 and 16, it says, So the wall was completed on the 25th of Elul in 52 days. When all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. 52 days! 52 days! Now, I didn't go and just great detail on this, but at the beginning of Nehemiah it has some facts, okay? And the temple was finished in 516 BC. And so, the walls of Jerusalem remained in shambles, the gates torn down and everything for 70 more years. 70 years that these walls had been broken down. I don't know how long before that. I'm sorry I didn't look it up. How long before that they'd been in ruin. But the temple was finished. In 70 years, these walls and these gates had lied in ruin. But then in 52 days, it's completed? That's amazing to me. 70 years, it laid there. And then 52 days, why was it done so quick? Well, because God was in it. And because they were all working together. You can look at chapter 3. Everybody did their part. They were building the walls. And y'all, throughout this, the enemy continued to attack in different ways and lies and rumors and all these different things. It came to the point to where they were working and with one hand had a sword in the other. But with God's help, what they accomplished in 52 days. But how did they do it? It was God and it was working together. Y'all, that is a message today that I want to get through to each and every one of us, that these impossible tasks can be accomplished when we are united, when we begin to work together, when we begin to come together and understand all that God has for us and all that God wants to do with our lives. Psalms 133:1 says how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It's us. We're God's people today. If you're here this morning, I hope you are a child of God. I hope the Lord Jesus is your Lord and Master. And how pleasant is it when we can work in unity, when we can work together. John 17, verse 20, if you want to turn there. John 17, verse 20. John 17, 20 says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. That's us, that all of us may be one. Father, just as you and me are you, oh, I'm having a hard time this morning. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Can I tell you something? There's power in unity, and there's power when people from different backgrounds, from different upbringings, from different beliefs can come together and all at once they become a child of God and they become united. We have people in this room right here from all over. Not everybody's from Mansfield, Arkansas. You know, California, Michigan, Tim, where are y'all from? Pennsylvania. Did I leave any out? Texas. We got people from all over. We all came, Oklahoma. We all came from different places and different backgrounds, y'all. But what God can do with just a few of us here this morning, How God can do something incredible that's never been done before when we become united, when we become one, and that the world may believe, that the world can see there's something to this. You know, you can You guys, do you work with people that you just have to get along with, but you really don't want? You they may not be your favorite person, but you have to get along with them. But you're really not united. You just have to get along with them. It shouldn't be that way here at church. It should be that we have a common goal, a common thought, that we have the Holy Spirit and God linking us together so that we can truly be united. Verse 22 says, I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I and them and you and me, may they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as I have loved you. Complete unity. Complete unity. To come to that point in our lives of having that complete unity and knowing that God wants to accomplish so much more with your life and with my life, and how much more He can do that with us working together. 70 years of the walls lied in ruin, and in 52 days it was completed. That's amazing to me, is how quick, when God's people get on board and get united and follow what the Holy Spirit's leading and guiding us in. Hebrews 10:23 says, let me find it. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold unswaveringly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. I want you to think about that. That's really what we should be doing here, spurring one another on to love and good deeds. I hope when you come week after week here that your life isn't the same after you leave. And not because of some great sermon that I've prepared, but because the Lord is speaking to you, and because you're the believer sitting beside you, in front of you, behind you, in this church, that we're encouraging one another and spurring one another on and letting each other know that you can make it through. You can. You can live for Jesus Christ. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For He who promised in faith is faithful, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. That's where you go back to a workman approved in understanding that my life has a purpose, my life has a plan. Am I considering each day how I can be a workman approved and have love and good deeds? And then it says, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. See, there needs to be time together if we want true unity. We need to be in fellowship with one another. We need to be seeing one another. You don't have unity if you don't have fellowship. You can't. How can you encourage somebody if you never talk to them, if you never see them, if you don't know them? You know, sometimes we think it's just no big deal to not meet together, to not hang out. It's a big deal. It really is to not have this time of fellowship together. And I don't know. I'm open to whatever the Lord shows us, to changing up church, changing up our church service, so it can be more of time of fellowship and talking and communicating and encouraging each other and sharing what God's done in our hearts, what God's done in our life. I know we give people opportunity in Sunday school. Kyle always starts off, anybody have anything to share? Sometimes people do, sometimes people don't. Sunday nights I ask, does anybody have anything to share? And it hardly ever happens. But, you know, we need to be sharing. What's God teaching us? What's God showing us? Where we need help, where we need encouragement, where we might be weak. You know, and we've had prayer meetings in the past, and sometimes we'll just sit around and visit for 30 or 45 minutes. And I mean, just even talking about our week, talking about our jobs, talking about our day. It's okay. That's what we need to be here for, that we have fellowship with one another so that we can encourage one another and understand that we need each other. And all that we can accomplish by meeting together, by coming together. Let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The enemy, we talked about last week, is trying to destroy us. He's used different methods. He uses different tactics. He wants to destroy our families. He wants to destroy our homes. He wants to destroy us at work. He wants to destroy our testimony. How great is it to have someone that can come alongside of you and bring you encouragement and say you can have victory? That God can see you through. But if we don't have unity, we don't have fellowship, then we don't trust each other enough to share, to talk. We don't even trust each other enough to encourage. You know what's crazy to me is I've offended people and hurt people's feelings before trying to encourage them, and that was never the intent. Why? Why? You know, and because people are so defensive and they take it the wrong way. But if there's unity and we understand that you want the best for me and I want the best for you, it's a lot easier to take, right? I mean, it's like when you know somebody loves you and you know somebody cares about you. What's that verse? Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies his kisses. So what does that mean? That means that if my wife tells me something that hurts, it's not because she wants to hurt me, necessarily. It's because she wants me to do better. But you know, somebody that's always telling you how wonderful and how great you are and how awesome you are, you better be careful. That could be an enemy multiplying his kisses. But if we don't have that unity and that oneness and that... Back in Nehemiah, and like I said, we really went through it fast, but there was, the enemy was attacking, and the people at one point even got tired and worn down. But they had each other. And they even set trumpets up, and when if the enemy was coming to a certain part of the wall, they would blow the trumpets, and all the men with their swords were supposed to run to where they heard the trumpets blow to help defend. Y'all, maybe we need that today. You know, I'm hurting. I need some encouragement. You know, blow my trumpet. Y'all come. Help me. Oh, but we're too full of pride. We want to put on our religious face and I'm so wonderful and I'm so great and my life's perfect. No. Nobody in here goes through their weeks and their months unscathed. We have problems. We have situations. We have maybe even things inside, the anger, jealousy, and things that nobody knows, but it's inside. And you're, where's this coming from? Why do I have this? When we love each other and we have unity, we can talk and we can share and we can encourage. And you know, an amazing thing happens is sometimes when I've been talking to people and they've been sharing their problem with me, and I can tell them I've gone through the same thing. And it's like a light flips on. What? You've gone through this too, Pete? You've had this? Because Satan wants to make us feel so alone and so isolated. Let us consider how we can encourage one another, spur one another on. A workman approved. Ecclesiastes 4:12 says, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Now, I guess in wedding ceremonies, they're doing this thing now where they braid the rope or whatever and everything. But I want you all to think about this. One can be overpowered. Two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. There's you, there's me, and there's our Heavenly Father. And how much stronger are we when we stand united, when we stand with one another, and the Holy Spirit is in the midst of all that we're doing and all that we're going through. Ephesians 4:11, and we're going to finish up here. It says, Ephesians 4, verse 11. It was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. So we all have different functions. We all have different jobs. To prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So we all have our part to play. We all have our stones to build up the wall. Each and every one of us, even if you hadn't fallen in the category of a prophet or evangelist or a pastor, God has a purpose. God has a plan for you. And why is that purpose and why is that plan there? So that the body of Christ may be built up. I need you. I need you guys more than you know. I'm serious. I'm not just saying that. I need you. And there's people that have left our church that my heart is still breaking over, that I'm still praying for. It's broken my heart, and I don't understand it. And I'm so thankful for each and every one of you. And I need you, and hopefully you need me, and hopefully you need the people sitting by you, in front of you, and behind you. And if you don't understand that, you need to understand that, and that God has a work and God has a service for you so that we can build each other up. Things that you can do for me that I can't do for myself. Things that I can do for you that you can't do for yourself. But us coming together and making a beautiful body of believers. It says until we reach unity. It says verse 14, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. I need you, you need me to keep us on our toes, to make sure that we're not being deceived, to make sure that our faith isn't being shaken. And if our faith is shaken, we can come together and pray and look at the Word and look at Scripture and understand what the Word of God says and then encourage one another. Verse 15, instead speaking the truth in love, to speak to one another in truth and love. There's a difference when you speak to each other in truth and love, and that's not always getting to hear what you want to hear. That's not always getting your way. But truth and love is speaking that sometimes when we've blown it, sometimes when we need to be corrected, sometimes when someone sees something in our life. I think I've used this example before, but have you ever had a piece of food stuck in your teeth? And you didn't know it. And you've gone all afternoon and you've talked to 10 or 15 different people and you know that food came from lunch, and then all at once you walk in and you see a mirror and you look and you go, oh, that's been there all day and nobody's pointed it out. Everybody could see it, but you didn't know you had it. God, it's that way with our walk with God. It's that way with our relationship with our Heavenly Father sometimes too. I can see things in your life that you can't see yourself. You can see things in my life that I can't see myself. And sometimes we need to come alongside people and encourage them and say, I see where you're slipping. I see where you're falling. I see. But what happens? Then we get offended. Then we get mad. Then we go to the new church. I'm not talking to that person anymore. They're not my friend. If they really loved me, they wouldn't say stuff like that. But when we... Is this making sense at all this morning? When we love each other and there's unity, we can say, you got food in your teeth. You know, pick it out. Right now it's just a little irritant, but if you let it go, it could get infected. And that's the way life is sometimes, y'all. Verse 16, from Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. You know, Mike has his broken foot right now, and so other parts of his body are having to do more work than they're supposed to, than they were made to. He's got crutches, so his arms, his other leg, they're all doing extra work. Why? Because he has a wounded part of his body. You know? That happens with so many of us. Something's hurt. Something's messed up. Someone else has to pick up the slack. But y'all, I think there's other times that there's parts of the body that are just not picking up the slack. And what happens to them? They get out of shape. That's where the fat cells tend to go. I don't do sit-ups like I used to. I need to start doing sit-ups because my muscles are, I can tell I don't have the muscles I used to have there. And that's where the fat all wants to go. Why? Because it's not getting worked. It's not being used. Y'all, the same with the body of believers. God has made all of us with a function, all of us with a purpose. And if we're not doing our part, someone else is having to pick up the slack. Someone else is having to do what we should be doing. I don't know what your part is this morning, but God does. Are you living your life with the thoughts, I want to be a workman approved, God. I want to seek You each and every moment of each and every day. And I understand I don't belong to myself anymore, but I belong to You, Heavenly Father, and I belong to my brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's stand. Father, I thank You for Your Word this morning, and I pray that You have spoke to each and every one of us about what we need to be doing. Maybe it's changing our thoughts and our minds, Lord, of understanding that we need to be seeking You daily. Maybe, Lord, it's understanding that we've isolated ourselves and pulled away from the body of believers and have not been doing our part, have not let down our guard. Maybe it's we haven't shown love like we should have. Maybe we haven't loved those around us the way that we should. And Lord, shown them that they do come first. Lord, just as Jesus was praying that He and You and us and Him, Lord, that's my prayer this morning, that we would be united. And that we could see all that You could accomplish if we would be united with You, Heavenly Father, and united with each other. That we could accomplish more than what's been accomplished in the last 70 years, Father. That if we would just be united with You and united with one another. Lord, may we all understand that we have a part. And just as the enemy attacked Nehemiah, Lord, I understand the enemy's going to be attacking us this week. Lord, I believe the enemy's attacking some even right now in their minds and their thoughts. They've already left. They're already out the door, Lord. But I pray right now that they would take every thought captive and they would seek You for these few minutes, these few moments, Lord, that they would seek You and that they would understand the importance of us coming together, meeting together and encouraging one another. Lord, if we need to change, the service, if we need to change the meetings, Lord, whatever we need to change, that we would be willing to do it. That we would sit under Your direction, under Your guidance, but that there would be true fellowship here. Like we've never known before, and that we would understand, Lord, that we don't belong to ourselves any longer. We were bought with a price. Father, have Thy way now. May Your will be done. In Jesus' mighty name.
Oh, so are You weary and troubled? No light in the darkness You see. There's light for a look at the Savior, a life more abundant and free. So turn Your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face and the things His word shall not fail you. He promised. Believe him, and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying. His perfect salvation to tell. So turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the thing
prayer tonight at 5:45, and then we started last week, Acts chapter 1. We're going to be going through the book of Acts on Sunday night. It's kind of what the church should be. It's the New Testament church. Tonight we're in Acts chapter 2. I encourage everybody to be here if you can. And please, next Saturday night, we're going to have a good time. 6 o'clock. Bring your favorite card games, board games, whatever you like to play. And we're going to have a time of fellowship and food and fun. And so I hope everybody can make it. And bring your friends, bring your family. It doesn't matter. Bring them and we'll make do with whatever we have and we'll just have a good time together. And so I hope you can make it. And Lord bless y'all. Have a good afternoon.